And welcome back to Cinema Vino. Once again, Sean Jordan, Crafts Bud.
Hey guys.
Howdy.
My name is Todd. And Todd Wofford. We are here to, I'm going to share a little story with you.
Oh.
Beforehand, just for the hell of it. Elementary school. Big deal was to get up and do this Pledge of Allegiance and read it in front on the intercom, the entire elementary school student body. All the kids in fifth grade get one shot to do it. And so it was me, and I'll make up this guy's name was like, you know.
Jasper.
Yeah.
Mitch.
Like, we'll say his name was like Billy Tompkins. So I finally get my shot. Been looking forward to it forever. Get up there the day of. I get so nervous that I'm like, hi, my name is Billy Tompkins. And the other kid's like, and I'm Todd Wofford. And, yeah, I never recovered from that for the rest of fifth grade. I was just, it was all I could do not to barf in a trash can. So, you're welcome.
That reminds me of the time I had stomach issues at school and had to go to the restroom that had no stalls. All the stalls had been knocked down.
Wait, didn't we hear this story?
Yeah, but
our listeners haven't.
I thought that was a dream you had.
Anyway, that's all you get to hear of that one.
Yeah.
So, unless you listen, rate, and subscribe, and if this gets 200 likes,
if you subscribe to our Patreon,
smash that notification bell.
We'll tell you the full story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Stick around for that one. That's going to be a barn burner. It's
bonus content.
Mm-hmm. That's after dark material.
Right there. Cinema Vino after dark.
Mm-hmm.
This time we're going to talk about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings
in depth spoilers.
With spoilers. So
getting dirty.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's in theaters only for the time being. In 45 days, it will debut on Disney Plus. So, yeah. We're going to do another white wine because it is hot as balls outside in Oklahoma where we are right now. I can't testify to the exact temperature of balls, but that is the temperature outside right now. They are synced up Fahrenheit-wise.
Yeah, the muskiness outside matches, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of dudes walking around with summer penises.
This is a real travel brochure for Oklahoma right now.
We have a town called Muskogee.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think it's named for?
Now you know. And Merle Haggard's from there, so yeah, there you go. Merle was probably a touch swampy.
Also, Gary Busey resides in our state.
Yes.
Throwing that out there.
I don't think he resides so much as lurks.
It's his layers.
He dwells in our state.
Yep.
Yeah, he's out somewhere making sure you can answer three questions to cross a bridge. So.
Thankfully, we don't have that many bridges here. So.
So make sure you know your favorite color before you approach. So we're doing another white wine. This is a Spanish white. Friend and Farmer. This is a Verdejo. Uh-huh. Travis has got the giggles. You can't see it right now, but he's got the giggles, and it's just adorable.
The shade of red that you are.
Oh, that troll. Gary Busey. That might be one of the funniest things you've ever said. Thank you.
Spanish white, you say?
Yes.
Damn good thing you're recording that.
I know. This is another refreshing floral, easy drinking white. Good for hot weather, good weather. It's definitely, Spanish whites tend to be pretty refreshing, pretty floral, pretty easy to drink, good patio wines. So, but also good movie wines. They're not high in alcohol. They're pretty easy on the palate. So, it's one of those things where if you're looking for something that you can make an evening out of drinking.
Oh, yeah, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
That's smooth.
Yeah.
It was nice and cold, too.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, whenever my wife and I went to Spain, that was like one of the fun parts was just finding a nice spot, getting an easy drinking bottle of wine and just kind of sitting there and enjoying the day, Just sitting in a nice little kind of town square and just
watching the clouds and the good weather.
Do you think you can do that in most countries?
You can.
Okay.
There's something about doing it in somewhere exotic like Barcelona,
Barcelona.
Yeah, it's
Ibiza.
It's nice to do that somewhere, just exotic and beautiful. So, and not that, Balsac where we are right now isn't just great, but Muskogee's mighty nice for that, but
it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, Northeast Spain's got it beat. But anyway, yeah, and this is affordable. That's a great thing about Spanish wines and like Portuguese wines and, you know, even at some most Italian wines, they're affordable. You know, I know some Italian wines could break the bank, but a lot of them don't. So you can get them for $10, $15, and, you know, they're great. They're not hard on the palate, and they're not hard on the wallet either. So something to think about. So, Shang-Chi. Now, again, one more warning. We're going to talk about the plot and give away some stuff. So
we're going to give away a lot of stuff.
Yeah, run away if you have not seen it.
Yeah, go watch our other podcast, spoiler-free.
Yeah.
Watch it with your ears.
Mm-hmm. And your heart.
Yep.
So now we can talk a little bit more about what goes on in this film. Bringing spoilers into it, what did you guys think? We'll start with Trav.
First of all, it's Travis. Second of all, yeah, I enjoyed it. I was a little critical of parts of it. I think the first fight scene that we got on the bus was the best fight scene in the film.
Yes.
I enjoyed it the best. But there was another portion in in a building where he was fighting, I guess, his mentor. They never gave that character a name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just masked
dude
mentor.
With a mask.
Yeah.
But they gave him the classic little fight where there's like, where it's their silhouettes in front of like a screen in the background illuminating them somewhat. Yeah. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, dope.
It's very cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if this is like a kung fu film, like a Bruce Lee film, like I love a good like 10 minute fight sequence, 15, 20, whatever. I used to watch on Sundays they had like all this old kung fu movies, and I would kind of be doing laundry or cleaning my room, and then I'd be like, ooh, a fight scene. And then I would sit down and enjoy a crazy over the top stunt spectacular.
Yeah.
And this does deliver mostly in the very beginning. Near the end of the film, Todd, you said in our other ones, it became a little bit effects heavy, mm-hmm. and they shoehorned in some other villains, like the one above darkness or the darkness below all, who's kind of Marvel's version of Cthulhu, or one of their many versions of Cthulhu, and who is also kind of a Doctor Strange enemy. Probably, I think, the Defenders. I think Namor and some other characters he's shown up in. But they've tried to fix the problem that they had with Iron Man 3 and the Mandarin, where they had Ben Kingsley pretending to be this terrorist. And the villain in this one is, they call him something else. Actually, they rarely call him anything other than Shang-Chi's father. But I looked it up earlier. His name is Zhu Wenwu is the character's name that's Shang-Chi's father.
Yeah.
But they tried to, again, the original character Mandarin was very racist and much like Fu Manchu. And they kind of rolled them in together to try and, you know, explain
and the Mandarin was also a real character. From
yes, he was an Iron Man villain.
Yeah, he was an Iron Man villain. The Mandarin, Fu Manchu. I mean, the origins of those characters are very problematic.
Yes.
And Marvel was trying to glaze over a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. And there's another character that was of Asian descent that was a villain for Jimmy Woo, who we have seen in Ant-Man and the Wasp, and he showed up in WandaVision as well with Darcy. He was the FBI agent helping them out.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and they found out that he was the son or heir or descendant of another racist Asian character named Yellow Claw, which just even the name, very inappropriate. And they've since kind of changed and switched that on its ear, and they're like, no, technically he's the Golden Claw. Well, it seems like they've rolled those all in together to this one character that was Shang-Chi's father. But it was a good film. It didn't feel like a Marvel film. Sean pointed that out. I feel like I'm talking too much, so I'm going
to push it to somebody else. I think you made some good points. It was like a kung fu movie, right? It didn't feel like a Marvel movie. It didn't feel like we were exploring the Marvel universe, which I think was good.
Yes.
To some extent. I think it's good that we kind of got away from, you know, the whole MCU where you know every character, you know what to expect, and you know what they can do. You know, it's nice. It's refreshing. It's a palate cleanser that we get to explore new characters and new settings. They're definitely leaning into the multidimensional aspect of Marvel. So, spoilers, the end is they go into another dimension, which was their mother's home world, which is also a portal to another dimension, which is blocked off, which is blocking off the darkness below, or whatever this Cthulhu monster is.
Mm-hmm. The one below, or the darkness below.
Which, if you're keeping up with What If, this is now like the third instance of like a tentacled monster.
Yes.
Like popping up.
The other one, I think, is Shuma-Gorath, which is another different weird Cthulhu monster who's a Doctor Strange villain and who was also in, I think, Marvel versus Capcom, like some of those video games back in the day where you'd see like the Street Fighter characters and Marvel. He was the weird tentacle guy with like one eye.
Yeah, but Phase 4 is just getting like weirdly tentacle heavy.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's like my prom night.
Yeah, it's in my search history. love that tentacle porn.
So, Trav, I was thinking about you.
And Travis.
Travis. Y'all can play a drinking game out there.
That's my mutant name.
During the climactic third act fight scene, it had a little bit of a monster fight feel to it between the two, like, dragon
fight.
Yeah, so there's... The problems I have with the film is that it seems to take some of the story lines from Iron Fist, who's a completely separate character.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi is basically Marvel's Bruce Lee. I said that in the spoiler.
Well, do you think they're going to
get... And he has no powers.
They tried Iron Fist, and it failed in the Netflix series. So he had two seasons with Netflix, and it was not good.
And then when they kept saying that Shang-Chi had the power of the heart of the dragon, that's exactly what Iron Fist had. I thought Shang-Chi was going to go into this mythical realm who... Kun Lun is the name of the mystical realm that Iron Fist goes to.
Another dimension, you also have to go at a specific time to get there. You also have to...
It's exactly the same. I was like, oh my God, are they having Shang-Chi be full, like he's going to be the Iron Fist? I was like, this is kind of interesting.
I'm into it.
I'll be on board with this. And then I thought behind the portal that had, you know, the evil villain was going to be their dragon god, and he was going to have to feed it on one-on-one combat, take out its heart, get its power, and then fight his father. The rings of the Mandarin are not at all what you see in the screen when it's in the comics.
Because in the comics, it's literal, like, finger
they're
rings.
Actual finger rings, and they will, you know, shrink to the wearer, and each one
ring.
Boost your mental powers or power over electricity or flame or wind. Well, each one has its own power. So you basically have 10 powers when you're wearing these rings.
It's kind of like Infinity Stones. And I think it would be a little bit too derivative of Infinity Stones if they were to do that right after they just got rid of all of those.
But they do have a dragon in Shang-Chi. And there is another character.
Fin Fang Foom?
Yeah, they have Fin Fang Foom, who is an alien dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mandarin's rings have an origin that he's an alien dragon, and that race is called Maklu, or the Makluan, or Maklua, whatever. The rings are Makluan energy rings, and they power a spaceship, and that's how the dragons got to Earth. It's fucking weird, fucking comics. It's kind of dope as shit. They didn't even give the dragon in this thing a name.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to be
the dragon of the protector.
And then I was like, it's going to be Fin Fang Foom.
It's a she. The dragon is female.
Oh, was it?
Yep. Yep. Gotcha. They covered that. She's just the protector.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives the town power.
At scales to use for weaponry?
Yeah. They use dragon scales for weaponry and
armor.
And armor.
Mm-hmm.
That was
very
dope.
Generous dragon.
That he got some dragon scale armor. I was like,
oh,
that's
upgrades.
Cool.
Mithril.
Let me run something by you.
Mm-hmm.
Did the plot of this kind of parallel Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender, where his dad casts him out, trains him as an assassin, him out, and then it ends with what seemed to me a lot like the Agni Kai, where he has to fight his dad to like prove his, he's like, you trained me as a killer. And it was like, that was his conflict resolution. Yes. It was very Zuko-esque.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, 100%.
Yeah. I was watching this and I was just like, this is the Agni Kai.
And they seem to, and again, they took all of the weird, problematic Asian characters and have kind of morphed them into this film, because I really want to see a Agent Wu movie where he founds a foundation called the Atlas Foundation, and it's called Agents of Atlas, which is all of the Marvel characters that were brought about in the 1950s before the 1960s with all of the characters you really know. And these have characters like Namora, the female Submariner, the Gorilla Man, Ken Hale, Marvel Boy, who they call the Uranian.
They were not creative Venus. With names back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
The female Mariner. Oh, what's she do? She's a woman who's in the water.
Submariner. Yeah. Oh, and M11, the human robot. But they have...
What?
He has the same origin, where he is a descendant of Genghis Khan, and the Golden Claw, Plan Chu, is like, okay, we need to make this character, much like in The Green Knight, have to send Agent Wu out into the world to become great and become worthy of then taking over the Atlas Foundation, coming back and defeating us, and then leading it as, you know. So they had to give him tasks and give him villains so that he can become greater than he was. And so I was seeing all of these different Iron Fist, Jimmy Woo, Mandarin, all these things that they were kind of diluting into this one story. And if they had used them more effectively, they would be great. It's still a good film. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. The end was a bit of a shoehorn. They have a villain problem at Marvel. They kill any and all villains. I didn't like the Mandarin rings. I'm a fucking nerd. The movie ones, I was like, what is this? They're like a lightsaber, but they're like a whip.
Yeah, and he straight up did a Kamehameha.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that one of those fights was not just straight up Dragon Ball Z. Like, mm-hmm. they were just like slinging rings at each other, just like bouncing off each other, like flying around. Mm-hmm. That was Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess they had to give Shang-Chi an upgrade if he's going to be an Avenger, maybe.
Yeah.
We had two mid-credit scenes. Again, guys, I'm talking too much. You guys take it.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. So one thing I'm going to throw out there, you guys say it doesn't feel like a Marvel movie. And to a lot of degrees, you're right. But I will say it does kind of follow a template that like started back with Iron Man, where you have your hero who is not realizing his potential. He's kind of spiritually lost at the beginning of the movie, kind of wandering, you know, and it's like he kind of gets put to the test early, and it's like, okay, you have to go and discover yourself and find your true strength and find your true calling and yada, yada. And it's like he eventually gets kind of broken all the way down and has to kind of build himself back up. You see it in Thor. You see it in Doctor Strange. You see it throughout Star-Lord goes through this too, where it's like you have to kind of confront your past and all this kind of stuff and ultimately realize your potential.
In the third act, he's like, by the way, you know how I said I didn't kill that person? I killed that person. It was him coming to terms with it.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. I have one more
you
thing.
You are talking too much.
I 100% am, but this is relevant. I thought he was going to tell her that he is the one that killed her grandfather, that Wai Gong. At the very beginning, he kisses like her grandmother on the forehead. I thought it was going to be a little bit like
the Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm. where he was the one and he was like, oh, shit. And I wonder if because that didn't happen first, they changed it, but it would have been kind of perfect. I was like, yeah. I was waiting for that next shoe to drop. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they didn't have to shoehorn any drama in between like her and him, and I don't know. I appreciate that they did not overtly make her love interest.
Yes, I did too. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
Like, I think there was some subtext, like at the end, mm-hmm. but they left it very subtext.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because it's like, that's always a lazy screenwriting thing when like you get a male and a female character together. It's like,
he gets the girl.
We got to get them together. It's like, it kind of puts out there that a man and a woman can't just be platonic
yeah.
friends. and coexist.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and there have been literal sociological theories that say that men and women can't like coexist in a platonic way. And I've always thought that's, you know, bullshit.
I mean, we can get onto that whenever Why the Last Man comes out, which that trailer was in my movie. Was it for yours?
Oh, it was not.
It was not for me.
Yeah.
I saw the TV series, though, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there's like, for example, Marvel has a real like father-son thing going on throughout their films. You think about Tony
Marvel
Stark.
Marvel has daddy issues.
Yes. Tony Stark and his dad. Thor and his dad.
Captain America in America.
Star-Lord and his dad. I mean, there's just throughout the movies, there's all these different characters that have like the father-son dynamic. Even Loki and his dad. You know, it's like...
Phase 3, hashtag daddy issues.
Yeah. And so that's a pretty common thing for, you know, the Shang-Chi to have issues with his father that he has to that play a major issue, major part in the plot.
So, I really thought his sister somehow was going to die or sacrifice. Like, at the end, I thought she was going to sacrifice herself.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Shang-Chi's
which is
sister.
Also lazy screenwriting.
Yeah.
If she had only been brought into the movie, like back into his life, just so he could get reattached to her and then her die.
Yeah.
Right.
That is very lazy and very common. And I'm so glad that they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, they did. Okay. So in our last post-credits sequence, it shows her rebuilding the Ten Rings compound.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously having both men and women equally a part of it. Because I was like, oh, she's building it back up and it's just going to have like an army of women. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then they pulled back and I was like, oh, wait, no, she's got men. Oh, the same amount.
Yeah.
That's
equal, you know, opportunity
even,
goons.
Even cooler.
Yeah.
But that 100% right there is also Agents of Atlas. Like somewhere hidden. It reminded me of like in Batman, the League of Assassins, uh-huh. Ra's al Ghul's like hidden.
The League of Shadows.
League of Shadows, League of Assassins, whatever.
Yeah, do you think they might be building up to something like the Thunderbolts or something else with that? Or do you think she's, because they kind of left it ambiguous as to whether or not she's going to be good or not.
Yeah. So in Agents of Atlas, there's a one of Jimmy Woo's love interests from back in the day. I think her name was Jade. She, you know, you think you're going to meet her and she's going to be great. And she ends up running a different branch of the Agents of Atlas. And they're not, you know, they're like, no, we're going to stay villains. We're cool. And so they have to clash with that. So this is just going to be another faction, I think, much like Sharon Carter is Power Broker and Madripoor.
Uh-huh.
This is just going to be another tool in Marvel's arsenal that they can, you know, pull.
Yeah, out. I kind of forgot about the Power Broker storyline. I wonder. Yeah. I'm surprised that didn't come back in.
Hmm. Yeah,
but I think there's a lot. This planted some good seeds, I think, for future Marvel stuff.
Somebody talked about the other post-credit scene.
Oh, so the other post-credit scene. Do you want to go over what it was?
No, the first one, the second one.
First one.
With Wong?
With Wong and Captain Marvel and Bruce Banner.
Yeah. And so basically that just, like you said, that facilitates his introduction into like the Avengers and yada. Like you're just getting into the bigger world or whatever. That's kind of how I read it. It's like they're going to try and have him in the next.
Yeah, and the Ten Rings, you know, they're like, oh, once you activated it, like it's started a beacon that we don't know who it's calling. And it's like, I feel like we
could be the dragons, the alien dragon, Makluan things. I don't know.
So outer space,
I'm curious how this is going to tie in with the Eternals, because they were saying that they kind of gave a very brief, like high level. They were like, oh, yeah, my dad found it. It was like, I don't know, some gods or something.
Took it from a tomb,
or it was like some gods or aliens or something. They really left it open-ended, but that could be the Eternals who have been there, as we know, for 7,000 years. It could be the Skrulls for some reason. I don't know. I mean, we know that the Super Skrulls, the Secret Invasion is going to happen sometime eventually.
But they know Skrulls right now. They're like Wong and all those, like especially, you know, Captain Marvel, they're very aware of Skrulls. So it could be some crazy
and the Guardians.
Ancient prehistoric, you know, Skrull bullshit. But I think it more likely
could be Colossus.
It's another alien race. Or I'm hoping it's Fin Fang Foom and the other alien big ass dragons.
It could be interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're playing with dimensions. I don't know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like to say Fin Fang Foom?
It's
fun to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like hard 10.
It's fun, Fang Foom.
Hey.
It's fun.
Okay, so scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 5 stars, what would you guys give it?
I give it a 3.9 stars.
3.9 stars? Oh, out of 5?
Okay. Out of 5, yeah.
So what is that? I don't know.
It's not quite a 4.
I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. So what is that?
That's too much math.
It's a 3.25 yeah. out of 5.
Get my slide rule out of 3.25 here.
3.25 out of 5, yeah. It was good. You're going to eat your popcorn, but it just didn't... I liked the character of Shang, but Awkwafina, for me, was...
She stole the show.
Yes. And then Ben Kingsley as Trevor, it was... That was a point of soreness for me in Iron Man 3, where I was like, oh, man, they're finally doing Iron Man's big villain in this, that not just another guy that also has a suit. And then they totally flipped it, and I was like, I don't love this. And then they had him show up again. I thought somehow that his dad's soul was going to get released back or somehow get into Trevor, and then we would actually have Ben Kingsley as that other character, calling himself the man. I don't know.
Just say, if his dad truly has been around for 1,000 years, has conquered like all kinds of civilizations, he's like a very chill guy for someone who's been around for thousands of years and has conquered a ton of civilizations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get like a 1,000-year conqueror vibe from him.
Pretty laid back for megalomaniac.
Yeah.
They alluded to that he was also, he said, I've been called like Master Khan. And so I was like, oh, like Genghis Khan? Because they do that also in DC comics. They've the character Vandal Savage, who's a Neanderthal man who found like a meteorite, and like his big thing is he can never die, and so he's been several people throughout history, and one of which is like Genghis Khan, and so that's why he has several progeny, and those progeny somehow through him have the potential to become like metahumans, and that's how DC, at least that's how they explained it in the Young Justice animated series. But that's kind of what I was picking up on in this movie as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. 3.9. Where do you leave it?
I would say 3.5 for me, or like 6, or what would that be? 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
It was good. It was enjoyable. You know, I liked it. So I think, if you average all that, I think we're 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. It wasn't all wrapped up in the Marvel mythology completely. I enjoyed that about it. I like not having to go in and having to do the homework of, you know, what does this tie back to or that. I'm sure that you could do the homework, but you don't have to.
It was free from the yoke of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The big last fight between the people of the mystical village and the Ten Rings was very anticlimactic. Uh-huh. It seemed really like the
hollow.
Volume was turned down a little for me, and I was just watching, and I was like, I'm not invested. I don't give a shit about this.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we have 100 guys against 100 other guys.
Yeah.
And like one is more prepared than the other. It wasn't rustling my jimmies.
Yeah, the movie was great up until that point.
Yeah, was a letdown.
Yeah, it didn't do it for me. I mean, the effects were great. It was saw the Kitsune, the nine-tailed foxes and all that other
mythological creatures. They knew that they had this big monster fight at the end, and they were just like, they kind of phoned it in up until that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always a little bit disappointed when a movie like this, you know, tries to tell a story and yada yada, and then it just devolves into a big CGI battle.
Uh-huh.
Where you end up not, it's the Attack of the Clones phenomenon, where it's like there's a lot of people on the screen who look fake, and I don't care.
I can't let this episode pass by without talking about the Abomination, Emil Blonsky. They said Tim Roth was coming back for this. I don't know if I heard that at all. I didn't see him on the IMDb page because I also didn't look. Sorry, guys, I didn't do my homework. But he looked much more Marvel comic book accurate in this. I guess Wong breaks him out of prison every once in a while and then is trying to help him work on his jabs and then puts him back in prison. That's
dick
what I
move.
Saw.
Yeah.
But it did look it looked cool how he got knocked out through the little sling ring portal. It's like, oh, that's fucking A.
Yeah.
I like it. But yes, 100%, they're either going to do Dark Avengers or the Thunderbolts, you know, their Marvel version of Suicide Squad, something like that. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I'm there for it.
Will you guys rewatch this when it comes out on Disney Plus?
More than likely at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Go back, try to find some Easter eggs.
I've seen most Marvel movies more than once, so we'll say that.
Yeah.
and most recent DC movies I wish I'd never seen in the first place. So,
yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Proud we are of all of them.
Yes. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Sean Jordan, Travis Bud.
Yep.
Thank you all very much. This coming Wednesday, we're going to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Back in the Habit.
Secret of the Ooze.
Electric Boogaloo. We're going to get Taylor back in here. We're going to talk about
Toka, Razor, Super Shredder.
Turtle Power. Yeah. Oh, you owe me a Coke. And then we're going to do our next series, which is going to be about each of us one at a time. And we're going to learn about all sorts of stuff about.
Now we're wrapping up the summer of sequels.
Yeah. And then we're going to do just all about us. So
it's always been about us.
It's always been. But we love you guys. And
not with a bang, but with a
whimper.
Yes.
Whimper.
With a gentle, soft whimper. Kiss. And a kiss on the forehead. We love you.
Penis. You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.